Hey, hello and welcome to our February teleseminar. As always, I feel honored and blessed to be with you here today, and I'm very happy I have Member Solutions behind me, allowing me to talk freely and voice my opinion on so many aspects of my life, my business, and my personal philosophies. Lately, I've received many new members on my program, the TakingItToTheNextLevel.com site. The common thing people are saying is, their comments are that they've listened to many of my teleseminars and they simply just make sense. Now, I just turned 43 years old. My birthday was a few weeks ago. I celebrated my 40th year in the martial arts, and I've been running my school for just under 18 years. I would have never thought I would be doing something for so long and have accomplished as many things as I have. But then the reality sometimes sets in, and I look at my accomplishments, and they pale in comparison to people such as Donald Trump, Tony Robbins, Rob Kiyosaki, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and thousands of more legendary people that are either in the martial arts or in the business community. You know, with those people, I feel like a white belt. I sometimes get frustrated. I ask myself self-defeating questions. For example, why them and not me? Or what have I done wrong? Or why do I work so hard with such little return? Of course, compared to these individuals, anything is small in comparison. I always try to deliver information-based content seminars, but my main purpose is to give you the content that's rich in information and the direction on how to achieve results immediately. This teleseminar title may have piqued your interest due to the nature of the title, Double Your School's Income and Student Count. Who wouldn't want to do that? This is a no-brainer, but quite often it's very difficult and much easier said than done. There are consultants who would try to simplify this task by saying, if you're doing this or that and it's working, just amplify or magnify your efforts, and then you'll yield a greater return. Again, it's easier said than done. If this was the case, then everyone in any kind of business would simply just double and triple whatever they were doing, and they would double or triple or even quadruple their business simply by putting the effort forward. It's not only about increasing your marketing efforts or magnifying or multiplying what they are doing or where you're doing them. In business, there are many steps forward and many steps backwards. Life is all about that give and take. The reason why people are saying my past teleseminars make sense is simply because what I speak is the truth. Of course, it's things that I have done over many, many years, things that I've failed at, things that I've succeeded at, and I want to always share that with the clients and Member Solutions and all my Taking It to the Next Level clients. Of course, there are many ways to skin an apple, but the truth of the matter is, even though there are many approaches, it's all going to be basically the same. It's all the same common areas that we need to improve upon that will yield consistent growth. Many of you know about my online program, you know, the TakingItToTheNextLevel.com. And for some of you that are listening, you may already be members. Others may have tried it and discontinues. And then there are those that are not members. And it's a simple, no-nonsense program. Basically, it's a no-nonsense approach to business. I've found that in the last 43 years of my life, in the last 30 years of being a self-employed business person, that the sky is the limit. What I find to be one of the secrets to success is definitely hard work. A person who is determined and consistent will overshadow one who isn't. The success stories I hear on my program is basically from the people that are out there simply taking the material, studying it, and putting it into action. They move on the systems. They work on the material, but they don't necessarily move on from them. They continue refining, maximizing the quality, the return, and the way they're using that particular system and approach so that they could grow their schools and continue forward. I ask all of you who are on the web right now or on the telephone now or listening to this later on in archive, one simple question is, if one system that you purchased, whether it be from any consulting program or any magazine or whatever it may be, yielded you 5 new students a year, wouldn't it be worth keeping in place and continuing forward? Yet many clients will ask me to give them a particular idea. And the most commonly asked, of course, is how do I get more students? And then they equate that to marketing. And I can tell you just from reading NAPMA, MIO, or possibly being a MATA member, you don't need to ever ask that question ever again. The thing is, though, that even though that we have the answers right in front of us, very often they're very elusive and they're not within grasps. Let me give you an example, and which is true. It's a true example because I've experienced it myself. Many years ago, I would do lead boxes. I had about 10 of them out in local stores, and I would get some response. For some strange reason, or maybe at the time I had something which was working better at getting me results for new students, I discontinued my lead box campaign. Not until recently did I ask myself the question why. Recently we went out and purchased new lead boxes, and I purchased 100 of them. So far we've gotten them out, probably at about 80 or so are out in stores right now around all four of my schools. And we've gotten so far legitimately 25 legitimate leads. If half of those leads turn into students, then I probably would have netted myself $21,000 in contract value. Now, of course, this doesn't include retail or special events that, or referrals that come from those new students. So why would I have ever stopped doing lead boxes? Basically, by stopping that, I was throwing away $21,000 a year. Think about this. Think of the sheer numbers. If you didn't need to do another marketing campaign ever again and you got out 100 lead boxes in your area and only two legitimate leads came in from each of those lead boxes, of course, some are going to have more, some are going to have less, you would have at least a minimum of 200 people to call and follow up on. Now, here's the downside. Let's say you have 100 lead boxes. Of course, some are going to be bogus leads coming in. Some lead boxes may get stolen, get lost, taken out of stores. The whole thing is it's hard work and it takes time. You have to follow up and follow through. You have to replace stolen or broken boxes or destroyed. The bottom line, it's hard work. But many business owners will look at this as a dead end. The first few stores may even reject your boxes so that you could give up and say to yourself that this might not be a good, valid avenue of marketing. But when you look at the results, if you have 200 leads and you're able to turn those into, I don't know, let's just pretend 20 new students. That's huge. Do we have to run an ad in the local paper? Do we have to run an ad or do this or do that? Not really. It all depends on what your growth is and what you're looking to grow by each and every month. And the most important thing is that sometimes we don't have a targeted approach. We don't have an idea of where we want to be and what we want to accomplish and achieve. So before we go any further on this, let me give you five obstacles which can get in the way of a business owner growing their school. Number one, and if you want to write this down, you can. If not, of course, you could archive this later and listen to it again in your car. But number one, the first obstacle is time wasters. Just recently, I spoke to my team leadership character development crew. These are my students that I teach a specific class each and every week. And by the way, if you're not doing this, you should email me or become a member of Taking It to the Next Level because it's free on our site. If you're not, it's also available for purchase. And I'm sorry about the plug, but I'd like to maybe help you guys as best as I can. But anyway, this week we spoke, and this month we're speaking specifically about time wasters. What is a time waster to you? What sucks up your time like a sponge and doesn't allow you to take steps forward, a few steps forward each and every day towards the big picture, towards the growth of your school? What is it that you do on a regular basis that doesn't allow you to move forward towards your big plan? What is your time waster or time wasters? Could it be email, talking on the phone? Could it be, I don't know, watching TV? Whatever it may be, every one of us has time wasters. And we have to identify those time wasters so that we can replace those with things that are more productive. Number two, very important, is lack of direction. Just recently, I started helping a friend of mine who has a student which just purchased a school from him. My buddy asked me to help this student get on track and build his school. Normally, I would have just started helping him for free, but in the past, I found that the more people get for free, the less likely they are to work and get things done. So I asked this individual if he would commit to doing a one-time-a-week consulting. And for this consulting, I call it my elite consulting package. I charge $1,000 per month, and I do a weekly 40-minute phone call. The minute I mentioned the money, he shied away from it. He stated that he didn't have money to pay for this, that he had to build his school first, which I find kind of ridiculous because he's never going to build his school unless he has the direction that he needs. Schools do not build through osmosis, unless you're super lucky and somehow you just hit it right, find the right location at the right time. Anyway, of course, you know the saying that you have to make money before you spend money, right? That's the opposite. Normally, people say, I have to make money before I spend money. I have to make money before I do this consulting. But really, my point is that you have to spend money in order to make money. Sometimes you have to invest the money in yourself. Anyway, my point was that he needed to invest in himself to be a success, or else he'd be spinning his wheels. And I realized this long ago that everyone needs a mentor, someone who can guide them, some of them who are lucky enough to have people out there. Some of us are actually lucky enough to have people out there helping us, But more importantly, we need someone who can show us every step of the way what we need to do and then hold us accountable for it. I personally do this for many, many clients, and I also have my own personal coach as well. My elite clients get to experience this on a regular basis. Now, I'm not selling you the program of doing elite consulting, but really what I'd like to do is talk about the benefits of having a regular mentor and consistent approach. For example, I have an elite client, they're on the phone with us right now, and they started their business at around $8,000 in income per month. They had a student base of around 120 students, and within 1 year, they brought their gross up to about $22,000 to $24,000 per month. Now, I'm sure you're thinking, wow, this has had to happen through adding on 150 new students. It had to be this new, you know, fandangled marketing campaign. Whatever is running through your head, probably you're not going to realize that really the studio only grew by 50 students. And you might ask, how by only 50 students did they actually triple or quadruple their income? And I'm going to go over this in more detail in a minute, but the true answer is it's all about the little things and putting in place little systems and identifying how we can improve and maximize on the things that we're doing. So the direction is to guide someone or to get guidance from someone else. So do you spend money to make money? Of course, the questions are you have to ask yourself is yes, absolutely. So now I'll go back before I go on also about this one friend of mine that I was working with, getting back to my friend soon. He decided not to take action on the consulting. Now, it's been 4 weeks, and the last time we spoke, I asked him what he was doing. I called him up just to check. He told me, and I applaud him. He said he was using the Next Level program, but I asked what he had done and what was on his agenda for that specific day and week. He told me that day he was out doing errands. He had to go to the motor vehicle for his dad and do some personal stuff. I then asked what was on his schedule for the rest of the week to grow his school, and he told me that he hadn't thought about it yet. I asked what he had done in the last few weeks, and he told me he'd been working on a few things, but he doesn't really remember. So some of the things I thought were great that he did, but all in all, I told him he was just floundering. He really wasn't focused on the growth of his school. Now, if he had been a client of mine, he would have had action steps and plans toward growth. You see, I know what to do because I've been doing it for many years. Plus, I've opened schools. Some of them I've closed. I wasn't as successful at one or two locations that I had. But I've succeeded and failed, and I could have put him on track or the fast track to success without him experiencing the losses and making the mistakes and wasting time and money. I could have literally saved him money just by him spending the money on the consulting. So a simple no-nonsense stuff is worth tons of money. So yet he chose to save money and do it the way he was doing it and lost a lot of money in the long run. So I'm always perplexed by this mentality. You guys out there might be saying, well, what does it have to do with me? So the first key thing is, and you know, we had talked about, was time wasters. Number two was lack of direction. Even if you don't have a mentor, you need to set up some sort of direction in your head that you can follow, or on paper, of course, not just in your head, but work it out ahead of time so that you could have consistent growth, something that you could work on a regular basis. The third thing is, the next biggest problem is spinning your wheels. When a drag racing car is going to race, they spin their wheels to heat up the tires. Some people may think that that's for effect. It blows a lot of smoke all over the place, but it's important. You know, I have my Dodge Viper, and I need to heat up the tires so there's maximum traction with the car so that I don't spin my wheels or spin out. So you have to ask yourself, do you spin your wheels in areas where you get no direction or no traction? The question is, what is your focus? What are you concentrating on regularly in order to see monumental changes in your organization? If you're anything like me, tomorrow is eternity. So I want everything done yesterday. I think that determination, this kind of determination has gotten me to where I am now. I'm an excellent goal setter. I stay focused on achieving those goals. And once those goals are achieved, I've already set goals for the next cycle or the next level or the next tier that I want to go. For many, they don't even know what they're going to do next. They're not sure because they have no direction. They don't have a focus. So basically, we spin our wheels until we find out what's necessary. Number four, stimulation of ideas and sometimes too much information. Again, it's great to hear that, I don't know, so-and-so's school is doing $200,000 a month. They have a summer camp or an after-school program. But if you're unable to do a program like this, or you don't have the knowledge or the established clientele, or you don't have any idea on how to go about it, it only will frustrate you more and more. Sometimes ideas are good, but to be honest, I would much rather ignore ideas and buy a completed system that I know is going to effectively grow my school and put it into an action immediately, step by step, before I try to reinvent the wheel. Look for systems that you could plug in with a complete diagram or layout of how. This is another reason why I think Next Level is such an effective program, and why, because we spell it out for you. Anyway, I think that it's important and essential for you to get some focus on what direction you want to go. Number five, the last one in this series of five reasons why businesses are, you know, losing momentum or lacking in growth is, most definitely, we lack in business knowledge. Speaking with many veteran school owners and quality martial artists, I sometimes feel sad. I realize that individuals have worked their entire lives to learn the martial art and master their skills, and have spent they've spent so much time on that end of it, they end up opening up a school, and they never really have the business skills to grow their organization. And eventually, either one, they get a job, or they already had a job and they're working two jobs because their school's full time, their other job is full time, or they fail and the school closes and goes out of business. So people don't nearly spend enough time mastering their business skills and business education. Only a small amount of people read books, listen to audio tapes, and go to seminars. The thing I find most, which is the biggest problem, is inaction. Let me repeat that. The thing that I find most is inaction. Not hard work. School owners work hard every day, but it's very easy to sit around and wait for things to change. In fact, it's easy to work hard and not achieve anything. You could work hard all day long and spin your wheels because you're working in the wrong area. Not really realizing what you're doing is not adding to the bottom line or to the growth of your business. There are many components to grow your business, and without all of them, you may not see the results you need to stay in business, let alone make a decent or outstanding living. The word inaction is sometimes the word inaction is something we see often with parents in our schools. This is a good example. The parent wants to see the student succeed and will ask us or even get annoyed at us if the child isn't being promoted or progressing. They also would even go so as far as blaming the teacher, and this happens in public schools as well, for their child's shortfall, when in reality it's the inaction in the parent's life which determines the success in the child's life. So if we look at this as a business, it's the same thing. For example, my daughter was having problems with her vocabulary in school. And I could have easily blamed the teacher, saying it was the teaching methods, or even go as far as saying that my child is just not good and accepting the fact that she's not good at vocabulary. What I did was take a more proactive stance and started turning vocabulary into a game. I worked with her morning and afternoon on the drive home to and from school, and we've turned this into a game where now she's succeeding. She's actually getting 90s and above on her spelling tests, so inaction would have been the easy choice for me. But it was not a choice at all. I had to take action. My question for you is, what are you doing as a school owner to take action towards the growth of your school? And if you don't know, that's when you should set up a call with me and we can outline some of those. So all you have to do is call the Member Solutions office and talk to any one of the staff members there and ask them to do a one-on-one call. And we can work on some of your action steps. We can go over those and get them achieved and start to set some plans going. Now that we've spoken about five reasons, allow me to give you some sound things to do in order to achieve greatness. Remember, if you do them starting tomorrow, you'll be in the top 1% of the crew of people who want to be a success. If you wait and plan to get to it and put it in your pile of things to do, then you're going to be in the majority. One homework assignment that I usually give out to my elite clients is journaling. It serves as a three-prong project. Many people are very hesitant for many reasons. Number one, it's hard work. Number two, it's eye-opening and really makes you take inventory of your time wasters. And number three, it shows you quite often where you're spinning your wheels. Journaling is very, very important. And if you take the time from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep at night, writing down everything you do from what time you started to what time you finished, how long it took to complete, you'll find many similarities in your daily and weekly routines. For example, you may find you're wasting time on too much email, or you may find that you click an email and it takes you off to another site, and that site becomes interesting, and you read a half an hour's worth of stuff. You may ask yourself, is emailing growing your business? If it isn't, then limit the time per week. You may also find that you're not spending enough time doing what is necessary, like marketing, or calling students that are existing students, and et cetera. By doing the journaling, you'll find many things about yourself. The goal is to do a minimum of 1 week, but optimally you should do at least 3 to 4 weeks. The next goal by journaling is to find out what your tasks are that are delegatable, that one thing is a task that you find that you're doing on a regular basis that could be delegated to a program manager, a staff member, an assistant instructor. What are the most important tasks and what are the least important? And if you can determine what's most important and delegate the least important, for example, maybe putting toilet paper in the bathroom, sweeping the floor, and so on, if a team leader can do that, then you could take that time that you saved, even if it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, a week, and you could put that into more what we call A1 priority tasks, like marketing your school or calling your students. The main thing is you want to find a way to bring yourself closer to the dream. The next reason why we journal is so important is that you will start to develop a handbook for staff members by watching and allowing yourself to develop directions and tasks and systems that you're using on a regular basis and then sharing that with your staff members, taking away those tasks from you. You want to, sometimes after you're done journaling for a few weeks, I would recommend that you take a few different color highlighters and you color in the tasks that are administrative, then maybe put those in blue, then take green and put that in for new student growth and development, and then maybe yellow for existing students, and then maybe put a color purple halfway through tasks that you could delegate. And in a separate journal, then separate out or put this on your computer and delete out all your personal stuff, like how much time you took brushing your teeth and showering, how much time you took eating, if you sat down and watched TV, and take only the important priority tasks that run your school and put them into a handbook, a manual for your staff. Okay, so that's one thing. That's my homework assignment for you guys today. And I'd love to go over it. You could email it to me, and I could go over it on our conversation on the phone call or on email. So here's the meat and potatoes, or as I like to say, tofu and vegetables of doubling your school's gross and student enrollment. Number one, pay super close attention to your stats. If you're already there, then you're closer than most other people are. But your stats are going to be the DNA of your school. If you're able to break down your stats and look at them in one big picture, they will fill in the clues you need to make major decisions. The problem is many of us do not analyze our stats on a weekly basis. We don't see our growth. We don't see our retail. We don't see our student count, our student loss, our student upgradability, and so on. We tend to look at them yearly or monthly or haphazardly. The stats will allow you to see gaps in your enrollment. Another client of mine who has incredible growth at their school, in nearly 12 months they've gotten probably tripled their gross using the philosophy of my business idea. And basically what we did was we made up a student grid. The grid had all of the important information about their students, the student's name, phone number, the programs they were currently enrolled in. For example, if there was a basic program, Black Belt Club, Masters Elite, Team Leadership, Character Development, whatever you have, whatever the price is that they were paying, and also it listed any upgrade potential. For example, after you completed this entire grid, if you had 100 students and you noticed that you had 30 of them sitting in the basic program, you know that you have potential for 30 of those to upgrade. If you have a Black Belt Club and then the next tier is Masters Elite, you might notice that 40 of your students are in the Black Belt Club. They have the potential to be upgraded to Masters Elite. You may notice that you have 60 people that they're upgradable to the Team Leadership Character Development Program. Once you determine that, you have all this information. When looking at the grid, you can determine where the huge gaps are. You might also notice that you're shy in 3 to 5 year old enrollment, or you're shy in teenage enrollment. So then you might focus and tailor your marketing to increase that area. I spoke about this with that one client of mine, and we had noticed that there was kind of an opening in the 3 to 5 year old category. Other than teaching classes, we weren't providing them much service, and we had to add on certain things like retail that were age-specific to that group or special events. And presto, they could be making at least a minimum of $15,000 a year per more. Think about it. If you're able to sell more gear, sell more special events, upgrade those children, and they haven't been thought about, you might make anywhere from $1,250 a month. That's $15,000 a year more. If this is just at a 50% profit margin, $6,000 goes right in your pocket. This is huge, and this is just getting started with the potential that you're sitting on right now. So are you falling short? Do you not know where your openings are? Do you not know where you're actually in a deficit? If you look at your stats for someone with a trained eye, your stats will tell you everything you need to know. Number two, take a really good hard look at your marketing. Where do you generate students? Many times I ask this question to my clients or to people who call me up and do one-on-one calls, and where are your students coming from? And the studio or the school is not tracking that. So we're not sure whether they're coming from an ad, whether they're coming from a VIP, whether they're coming from a referral. And we need to know this because the response is obvious. If they don't know, they're not going to know, the school owner, how to fill that hole. Look, you don't need a huge dojo in order to make a great living. In fact, if you have only 150 students and they're averaging $170 a month, now this also includes your retail, your special events averaged out over the year, then you could be grossing anywhere between $25,000 to $30,000 a month. If it's $25,000 a month, $25,500, over 12 months, that's $300-something thousand a year. Even at 50% profit, after all expenses are backed out, that's $153,000 of pure profit. So what is it that you're doing on a daily basis to notice? Now, notice, of course, I didn't say weekly basis or biweekly basis, but a daily basis, because some people barely do this at all. But what are you doing on a daily basis to grow your school? J. Conrad Levinson of Guerrilla Marketing says that even a poor marketing program done consistently will do better than nothing at all. So get out and market. There are so many areas on how to market, and we talked about this before, whether it be myself, Maya, Mata, NAPMA, Member Solutions. The question is that it's not what you can do or what's available to you, is what are you going to do. The question is, how much will you do? Will you do 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week? You need to put in at least a minimum of 10 to 15 hours of marketing per week in order to grow your school, increase your retail, and get better at what you're doing. Even if you don't want to grow your school with student count, you want to make sure that you're growing your business financially. The third thing is, take a good hard look at your curriculum and your classroom. This is probably the most important thing to watch in your school, and it doesn't matter what your marketing is doing and what you have in place and what your systems are for retention, or no matter what you do, if your curriculum and the classes are boring, too difficult, or simply not applicable to a growing school, then your school is going to perish. If it's imperative to you to ask your clients what they like and what they don't like, you need to look at your statistics to see why people are quitting and what your quit rate is every single month and what's good and what's not, and then make those necessary changes. Quite often we're so stuck in this paradigm where we're going to do what we do and people are going to love it. Sometimes we need to tweak. And listen, I'm a traditional martial artist, ninjutsu, and I've tweaked my martial art and style and system over the last 18 years to get it to where it is now. The people, your clients, are what are going to keep you in business and allow you to live the dream. So also make sure that your classes are dynamic and the students are achieving results that they're setting out to achieve, that they're accomplishing goals. It's imperative to look hard and long at your curriculum because this is your success or failure. The fourth thing is, last but not least, what systems are you currently using to retain students? On taking it to the next level, we teach many systems. Some examples are perfect attendance reward systems, regular phone calls, we miss you calls, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 we calls. We have a sticker system for our kids' classes. We have home sticker charts for the parents. We have report cards, periodical parent-student meetings, and goal-setting sessions. Again, it's imperative to keep the student active, motivated, and striving to succeed. Once that's lost, then the student's lost. And we have a saying in our school, behind every demotivated parent is a demotivated student. Or either vice versa, behind every demotivated student is a demotivated parent. Sometimes the parent doesn't see this as demotivation. They see themselves as being motivated because they're paying money in tuition every single month. But in reality, if the kid is giving the parent a hard time, they're going to be looking back and forth from their checking account to their child, and they're going to look at their checkbook and their child, and finally they're going to decide if their kid's unhappy, discontinue what they're doing. If a kid gives a parent a hard enough time for long enough, the parent gives up. This is inevitable. I recommend doing things like maybe even talking to Roland Osborne, who owns Kono Magazine. And Roland and I have come up with a great plan to help use their magazines as a retention tool. There are tons of retention tools on Next Level. I'm sure you've heard some. But the thing is, the question you have to ask yourself, are you using them? Are you using them consistently and effectively? I want to basically give you an idea. You know, really, it's not about the big things. Before we close it up and ask for questions, let me say that doubling your school's income is much easier than doubling your student base. My goal with all my clients in taking it to the next level, and whenever I do one-on-one consulting calls or whatever, or emails, is that I want to get people to have the new model in their mind of a martial arts school. It's not about having thousands of students. It's about high profit, high quality, and medium student count. You may ask yourself, how's this possible? But it's a very out-of-the-box thinking strategy. The old martial arts school model is gone. For the days of the dungeon dojos are a thing of the past. The goal is to have a clean and professional establishment, which most martial arts schools are doing these days. One that's conducive to families and not the barbarian martial arts student, although many tough guys or hardcore martial artists are likely to, they're not likely to accept smelly, disgusting environments for their training because, after all, it's counterproductive to their health and fitness. And they're a very serious martial arts school. But the new model is to slowly build your school with systems in place where you don't experience that five steps forward, six step back mentality. Learn from those people who've made the mistakes. Work on those systems like the ones I've spoken about. You could call me and ask me for ideas on that. But realize if you're only growing your students' count by 10 students per month, within 1 year, of course, there's attrition added on to this, and you may lose some and gain some. But within 1 year, you should have 120 students at year end. Of course, this includes that attrition and developing an accurate quit rate, knowing how many people quit each month. If you have an idea and five quit every single month, that you know that you have to grow by 15 students a month to have that steady growth of 10. The goal is to grow slowly and set your sights on high-quality product and a very fair rate of tuition. Another example of this idea is a client of mine has, they teach only 14 hours a week. They told me they spend about 24 hours total a week with their bookkeeping, administration, and marketing. They have 100 students at $150 in their basic program. Some are averaging higher. Their monthly revenue soars between $18,000 and $22,000 per month, with some as high as $25,000. Let's take that bottom number and divide it by the hour by 4 weeks. They're making approximately $200 to $250 an hour, but they're only spending 5 hours a day. To me, this is amazing. It's not work. It's vacation. 5 hours a day. Imagine running your entire business and being able to make that kind of money a year with only 5 hours a day. That's like what people strive for their entire lives to achieve and retire. The model's not like it used to be. More students don't equal more money all the time. Bigger schools equal, you know, don't equal bigger profits. Multiple locations don't equal riches all the time. The goal is to streamline your school, find out what are the time wasters, the expense wasters, and look at the profitability and add on programs to maximize your results. This is the key to financial security. The key to happiness and living the dream is not about working harder. It's about working more, working smarter and working more efficiently. I think that this is the key all the time of running a school. And if I were to start off like I started off, 17, 18 years ago, and I knew what I knew now, I'd have a much more highly cost program. I would be concentrating on only the upgrades, and I wouldn't have spun my wheels in many areas over the last 18 years. I think that the new model is all about focusing on high quality and less aggravation and getting what you're worth. The average school owner is charging far below what they're worth. I find that I talk to people that are still out there charging $50, $60, $70 a month. The average, in my opinion, from the people that I talk to, the tuition average is about $120 to $135 per month. I do have some clients that are charging $150 a month, between $150 and $250 a month. I personally, in my highest level program, which I only have a small percentage, we charge $250 in our highest program. Our average program is about $130. That's our basic program. Our black belt club is at around, $150 or so. Our master's elite is at about $200. The more you can step up your prices and get a high-quality clientele, the better it is for you. You don't need to add on 100 students to achieve the results that you want to achieve. Basically, my goal with you on this conversation is doubling your student count is not always, or doubling your gross is not always about adding on new people. It's about thinking about what you want to do, setting a plan in action, and working towards that plan. And I hope that through some of these things that I've talked to you about today, I've given you some ideas on how to do that. I think the first thing you have to analyze is your prices and your upgradability or your programs that you have in place. The second thing you need to do is look at whether you're servicing specific blocks of clientele. For instance, like I've talked about before, you may have 3 to 5-year-olds, and you might find that you're not doing income generators. You don't have gear to sell them. You're not doing seminars and special events. And these people are the ones that are ready to spend, but you don't have anything to, for them to spend on. Just by adding to that program, you may add on, I don't know, thousands of dollars in income. You need to look at your teenage group or your 5 to 8 year old group and see if you're doing the same there. You may want to look at your adults and say, well, why do we do movie nights for kids, but we don't do movie nights for our adult clientele? Why is it that we don't spend enough time with them? Why don't we make it a culture for them to be involved in our program and do more with them? Not adding on new students yet, adding on income. Also adding to the retention, because the more they're involved, the happier they are, the more excited they are to continue with the program, the more excited they are to refer people to your program, and so on and so forth. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break because I've been talking for 41 minutes nonstop. So I'm going to open up the questions, Kathy, if we could, for any questions that are out there right now. And then I do have a bunch online, and I'm excited to answer those. So let's open that up, and then I'll answer some of the questions, too. So anybody out there have a question that they didn't write in that they just like to ask live? Okay. Anyone? Going once? Twice? Okay. All right. Here's some questions that, that I've gotten online. And make sure you guys, Kathy, how do we mute our individual phones? Is it star 69 or something?
Just star 6. You can mute yourself by pushing star 6 and unmute yourself by pushing star 7.
Yeah, so everyone mute themselves by pressing star and 6, because if not, we're going to hear background noise and, you know, maybe the class is in session or crying babies, which is always the case in our program. So here we go. Here's one question that I thought was excellent. It says, it comes from Carol Stolt. I think I'm saying it right, Carol Stolt Dolton. And it says, a karate school here in my town has been open for 30 years, and in the first place people think of, that is the first place people think of when they say karate. They've actually put a couple other schools out of business. They advertise full contact, no pads. I'm geared towards kids, and my classes are much more exciting, but I have having trouble to get over the hardcore reputation in this town. Parents are avoiding my school as well, as they think we could beat their kids down too. How do I overcome this, and how do we show them we're really like without spending more money and we don't have I'm not sure that last, but the question is, how do you overcome this? The answer to this is this. Just because you believe, and there's a great book called The Kawasaki Theory on this. The Kawasaki Theory basically says, and it's a simplification of it, that whenever you're speaking of, let's say, cows, for example, you say cow 1, cow 2, cow 3. Don't ever generalize that all cows are one way. Now, with all karate schools, you're assuming, because you're in the karate industry, that you believe that this school has dominated and is the first place people think of when they say karate, which probably is not entirely true. And I'll tell you, I know this from experience, because I've been open for going on 18 years in my community, and I still have people on a daily basis walking through my door asking me, as if I just opened yesterday, when did you open? So don't assume that that's the way it is. But in case that it is true, what you need to do is market yourself in a way by speaking about why you're different, why you're not like this, and not really even why you're different, but why you are who you are. And talk about the benefits of who you are, saying that, you know, I am basically a school that, you know, we grow self-esteem and self-confidence and focus and control and focus on the things that you do best and forget about what they do. Because I believe that sometimes we get caught up in the he said, she said, and we try to believe that that person is the model. You know, Tiger Shulman is in my area. They're a huge school. They had, from last count that I heard, they had around 26,000 students. Now, I'm sure there's no doubt that they cut into my marketplace, but I market in such a way that I'll gather students to get to the numbers that I want to get to, and I have to put that effort forward. So the reputation in the town may be hardcore, and if that's the case, now you need to market to the parents, showing them that that's not what you're all about. In fact, you don't have to say, we're not hardcore, they are. You have to talk about who you are and what you specialize in and why you are who you are, and market that to the clientele, and forget about competition in that respect. I hope that makes sense. The next question is by Kathleen and Tim Cook. They're from Pennsylvania. It says, do you find it best to offer an initial free class to everyone, or should you charge for a free class like $19.95 or a week of lessons, calling it sometimes like an introductory offer? Also, what referral contests have you found makes the best inner school contests? First question is, it's up to you. You have to test your marketplace. I personally give out a free class in our school. We also give out free month passes and 2-week passes all throughout our community. We get, you know, we try to encourage people to come in. The goal is to get them in the door. Some other schools would disagree. They'll say you have to charge because if you charge, people are more committed. That may work for them. It really all depends on what you believe in, what you feel comfortable with. And what you feel comfortable with, you're going to do more often. So I don't say that one is better than the other, but I would recommend test market it. Do it for 2 or 3 months. Run an ad, $19.95 special. See how that works. If it doesn't get you the results, run an ad for 2 or 3 months and see. Free class, offer a free introductory class, and see how that works, and find out which works best for you, which leads you close more, how many people translate into solid students, and work on that, and see how that works for you. Now, the next question that you asked was referral contests. We have so many of them, and we think that it's important, one, to have a standard referral program in your school that you could build as a culture. I've talked about this a number of times in my conference calls. Basically, in my school, quickly, if you give away, if someone gets 5 members to join and those 5 members join for the year, we give that client a year for free. There's a host of other things that go and get involved in this referral program, but you can either get that on Taking It to the Next Level, or you can email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. And you can talk to me about that or email me that, and I'll send you an outline of my referral program. Now, in inner contests, I think that it's always good to have different contests throughout the year to kind of drum up more business, like during a buddy week, or how many buddies, if you bring the most amount of buddies, you win $100, or if you bring the most amount of buddies out of all of my 4 schools, you'll win the newest Game Boy, or whatever they call it. But anyway, it's important to create and stimulate some excitement within that general referral program, and the more you do that, the better it'll be for you. I hope that answered your question as well. We have Carol Roberts of Visalia, I believe. Her question was, we want to increase our membership enrollment, a question asked by many, of course. We're new with Member Solutions, and I have experience with their company. If I get lost at the seminar, whatever, they want to know about enrolling and getting their student enrollment. Well, I think this seminar talked a lot about that. We have to find areas of marketing that we're going to do. One great generator would be a lead box campaign. The other one might be putting out flyers. But most importantly, you have to have a referral program in place, but not just have it out there and leave it there expecting people to run forward with referrals. You have to follow up and follow through. You have to ask people. When you do your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-week calls, ask for referrals. Encourage people. Encourage their son, Johnny, to bring in a friend on Buddy Week. Call up and remind people Buddy Week is coming up. Excite them in class. Get a motivation going towards that special prize or towards them bringing their friends. Make them feel special about coming in and, you know, or coming to the school and bringing their buddies. So that there's a million different marketing ideas. I'd love to give you some if you want. Again, you could email me, RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. I have one of my next level clients asked a question, and it says, marketing seems to be his most difficult task. He absolutely cannot leave flyers or hand them out at businesses. And if you do a charity event, nonprofit, you can promote your business or solicit businesses. Print ads don't seem to be that effective. Well, this is for Jim. Jim, again, I don't know if I believe what you're saying. I can honestly say, though, I don't believe that you can't put out flyers in businesses. I think that there's some that may be resistant. There's some that may, like a Subway or these big franchises, that may not allow you to. But I'm sure that if you're reciprocating and you're putting your flyers from the local pizza parlor in your school, they're going to put your flyers in their school, in their business. You need to create relationships where these people will work with you, and that takes the effort. That takes a lot of work. That takes stopping in, maybe eating at that restaurant a few days a week for the next few weeks or once a week and meeting the owner and saying hello, introducing yourself, and growing that rapport with these different local businesses. Right now in my area, like I said, in our 4 schools, we have about 100 lead boxes out. And, some people resisted. Some people rejected us. Some people said yes and took the box and threw it away. But we have our boxes out in 100 locations. Now, that didn't take a week. It took a few weeks to get it done. And I had one of my staff members going out on a regular basis 2 to 3 hours a day, a few days a week, to get this done. Now, I do also believe that you could also do a lot more, not just with charity events, to promote your business, like what we call business appreciation, and some of it I was just talking to you about, where you go out of your way to develop these relationships. They give out your passes. You give out their passes. Or you go in and you give the owner of the business a $100 free month pass to martial art lessons, and they give it to their employees as a way of saying thank you for being employees, so that the owner of the business just looks like a good guy and he's actually not spending a dollar out of his own pocket. So what we need to do is establish these relationships. We got to make sure that we're out there. We got to make sure that we're talking to people on a regular basis. And we want our name, you know, Long Island Ninjutsu Centers, to be the most popular name in town. Everybody who's shopping in a store around my school should see my lead box. They should get a flyer from me. They should hear about me at the local fairs. And we got to continually, on a regular basis, be out there marketing and consistently working towards achieving those efforts. I believe, and I know this to be 100% true, that most school owners put in a minimal amount of time into growing their schools. If you do the journal like I asked you to do, at the end of the week you're going to be shocked, absolutely shocked, at how little amount of time you put into growing your school. So right now, that's the questions that we had. We had a few questions. We have 13 people on the line today. That's phenomenal. And some people calling in, I'm sure. So anyone else with the last questions or a few questions?
Allie, if you hit refresh on the web questions, you're going to see there are more questions for you.
Okay, well, I did hit refresh, and it's actually the same. So let me do it one more time.
Yeah, after you hit refresh, you might see incoming questions and have to approve them.
Okay, I'm going to switch off, go back, and then we'll do that, and I'll say incoming approved mode. Okay, let's see. All right, let's see how this – oh, Allison's another one, right?
Yeah.
Allison from Atlanta wrote, how do you juggle growing your student counts versus how many instructors you have? When do you hire another instructor? For example, it would be great to get 50 new students, but how do you also manage the staff needed for those students? Well, it all depends. The answer to that question is how much the actual student's teaching. For example, in my school where I have – where we have, let's say, 150 students in the smaller location, we have two instructors, a head instructor and an assistant instructor. But we also have a program manager as well. The program manager is your, basically, is your liaison or your, you know, maitre d', let's say, to communication with your clientele. For example, if you, if your instructor, there's something that we just worked out in my schools called key accountabilities. I think that most companies don't have key accountabilities for their employees. There should be five key accountabilities for each employee. Now, the reason why this is because if you were to do all five of those key accountabilities and screw up for the rest of the week, the owner of that company, the boss, would be happy still because those five major tasks are being done. So we have to make sure that you're not, you know, juggling your student count. You want to make sure that you have instructors in place, a program manager in place. And honestly, to be honest with you, how many people are going to be in your classroom that are on the floor at one time? If you have a huge school, maybe 30 to 40 at one time, maybe 50. In my school, we could have as many as 30 to 40 kids on the floor at one time. I do that with one instructor, one chief instructor, and one junior instructor, and maybe some team leaders. So you don't really need a lot of staff to keep that going. Now, for example, I don't want to teach every single class, so I have to pay an instructor to do that. But if I was teaching, then I would only need three people on my, you know, in my employment. It's not as hard as it seems, but you have to remember, like a yoga studio might pay the one yoga instructor to teach yoga. If they have 50 people in the class, it's one instructor per 50. In our school, it's a little bit more. It all has to depend on the quality that you're looking for as well. How many students per do you want per instructor? Like in the school systems in my area, it's normally 24 to 25 students per instructor. Anything more, they have to have a helper in the classroom. When do we hire another instructor? It all depends on when you want to hire that instructor to be able to free yourself up. Remember, the goal is to work on your business, not in your business. Okay, the next question was by Leslie from Colorado Springs. I love Colorado, by the way. Are these conferences recorded? Yes, absolutely. You would just go into the Member Solutions archives, and probably within a few weeks you'll see this conference call so that you can download it and listen to it in the car and or bring it home or whatever. So they're going to be available to you. So if you've missed anything, absolutely. And I saw from Dennis. Dennis, welcome that you're here. I'm glad to have you here. And I heard somebody said, good advice so far. What's your marketing plan? What do you work on 10 to 15 hours a week? Interestingly enough, we just hired a marketing executive in our school. I found that over the years, I've done 65 different marketing things. We have 25 things in place. We hired a marketing executive to make our marketing message more congruent. She's also there to help me stay focused on the timeline and also make sure that I'm getting the message done consistently on a weekly basis. I found that I ran my marketing campaign. I was out doing everything. I teach. I manage my staff. I pay my employees. I found that I was kind of like, you know, even though that I had good intentions, I was missing out on many things. So right now we're on, for me personally, we're doing a direct mail campaign. We're mailing out 1,000 highly qualified leads per month in a postcard. So that's 4,000 a week that we're sending out to our four different locations. And we're doing that for 8 weeks consistently. After the 6th week, we're actually going to start television advertisement. And we have a host of other things. I don't recommend TV for the martial arts school, average martial arts school, because you have to have a lot of money to do that. Plus, a lot of times, it's all about branding. So I wouldn't want you to waste your money on television. I'd rather give you much other things to do. And I would say that you could call me or email me or set up a conference call, and I'd love to lay out for you a marketing idea. I'd also like to give you what I call my marketing action plan worksheet. All you have to do is email me. Again, my email is renshi.ninja@aol.com, and I'll send you that worksheet. I have Joe on the line from Franklin Square. Hey, Joe, how are you? He says, how do you structure your children's classes so the kids develop solid skills and still want to come back? Most parents are looking for more entertainment. I don't agree that parents are looking for entertainment, although they are looking to have their kids entertained. Of course, they don't want their kids to be bored. Like when I used to train with my teacher, I loved it, you know, but I was a little disturbed. You know, his classes were hardcore. And, Joe, you know who my first teacher was, Shan Vasquez. I mean, we killed each other. But you know what? We need to keep classes motivational and exciting, but at the same time, it should be curriculum-based. In my school, my little kids, 3 to 5-year-olds, they're learning how to front fall, back fall, side fall, forward roll. They're learning all their rolls and falls. They learn how to ukemi and flip out of a throw. They learn wrist locks. They learn grappling techniques. They learn a 1-2 punch. They learn high, middle, low block. They learn what we call Tai Sabaki body movement, and this is 3 to 5-year-olds. And then it just gets better from there on in. It's shocking to see how much my little 3 to 5-year-olds can do. When parents come to the test, they're blown away by it. So I'd love to talk to you more, Joe, about that as well, because I could give you some ideas. And Leslie had written she has to leave, but she thought this teleseminar was very valuable and interesting, and she's looking forward to reading it in the archives. I highly suggest that you guys go back over a few of my other teleseminars as well and go over those to see things about the referral program, the concepts and ideas. And I believe, I'm not really positive, though, but Kathy could help me on this, is that Member Solutions offers a free month of taking it to the next level. If you want to just try it out for 1 month and just get the information, it's free to you as a client of Member Solutions. And I also, again, want to say to you, if you'd like, you can email me at any time. Again, my email is renshilininja@aol.com. I'd be more than happy to email you and have a dialogue on a weekly basis. I also do that elite consulting, or we could do a 20-minute phone call through Member Solutions, and I'd be honored and happy to be a part of helping out the school and helping out your organization. And we're almost out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. We have about another, I don't know, actually before I say goodbye, is any one last question? Does anyone have a last-minute question? None at all? Okay, then I will say goodbye at that point. So, Kathy, once again, thank you so much for moderating the call. Kathy is great. If you guys ever want to talk to Kathy about consulting, she has just incredible insight on the business and student retention and classroom teaching. So please contact her or contact me, and I'd love to hear from you. So thanks so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Allie. That was awesome. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Hey, bye, everybody.
The moderator has disconnected.